On this edition of Our Town, the studio's kind of full today. I think this is the most people I've had at one time that each had their own microphone. I've had three guests before that have been in here, but never before have we all been able to use our own microphone. So we got Chuck Trent with us, Larry Martindale, and Michael Pearson, all from the Boys and Girls Club. And welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You all doing all right?
We're doing great.
Wonderful.
Good. Let's start off with, I noticed the other day, in fact, our guy, Michael, that works here, he came into my office the other day and he says, hey, I just wanted you to know they put part of the building in place. And I said, well, yeah, I knew that. I had talked to Michael and you had mentioned that. Mm-hmm. So tell me where we are with, that's going to be the new teen center, correct?
That is going to be the new high school building.
The new high school building.
So,
well, teens, high school.
Yeah, same thing. Okay. So what we're trying to do, right now we have about 150 registered teen members. We're averaging about 22 a day. And then we see that go up as high as 40. And one of the things that happen when you have that many kids in there and we're feeding them a hot meal every night before they go home, and then in the summer they get two full meals and a snack. And we've consumed a big part of our existing teen center with dining and making sure that the kids, and especially 64% of our kids are on free or reduced lunch. And so we got to make sure that these kids have enough food and that we don't have issues with childhood hunger. And so what we had to do is we had to make some more space. So we cleaned out one of our the only conference room where we were holding classes, because we had to make a decision about what was most important. Was it the classes or was it making sure that kids didn't go hungry? And so we went ahead and built that new kitchen area and food prep area so that we'd have enough room in the existing building. But the problem is, when you have that many kids, we still need classrooms for programs like Smart Girls and programs like Passport to Manhood and Positive Action and our Managing Money Financial Literacy Program as well. So we own the building. It used to be the old CUSAP building. It's now the Nan Osbon building. And we're moving that over to the existing teen center, and that roughly doubles our floor space. So we've got, it's a triple wide, 2,700 square feet. Two of the sections are over right now, and we're just waiting for the third when we need a break in the weather to get that over. And so that way we'll be able to have classroom space. So we'll build two classrooms in that area. But the most important thing is we're also making that a dedicated high school building. We have so many middle schoolers and younger teens. And they tend, when you've got that many, they tend to overpower the older kids.
Yeah, there's something about that switch in the age group. Just that little, you know, difference between eighth grade and ninth grade sometimes, you know, where it's like it's a whole different world.
It is. And then that allows us to offer new programs that are aimed directly at high school, things like Keystone programs and career readiness. And so there's a whole bunch of other programs. And then when you're talking about Smart Girls and Passport to Manhood, and you're talking about esteem issues and safe dating and all those kinds of things, you really need to be able to separate the younger tweens, and the older teens that are really going through it at the time. So by having this other space available and having conference rooms where we can hold theirs, where it's private, and both the boys and girls can share their heart, can share what's going on with them, and so then we have the ability to mentor them and to help them through some of these tough times. So that's what we're really trying to do, and we're really, really excited. It's been a long journey. It's been about a year and a half, and every time we thought we had the building ready to go, we ran into another obstacle, but one more section and we're ready to go. We're just so excited about that.
Well, I know that when you're talking about, you know, making that decision to go, well, do we want to have the kitchen and food space for dining or the classrooms? I mean, I think almost everybody in the teen area that does teaching or does help with teens know that so many of them go without a good meal, and that really debilitates their ability to learn sometimes.
Well, and that's right. And then we also work with Food Backpack for Kids, and so we partner with them. Then at the elementary school, we have anywhere from about 70, we've had as high as 90 on Fridays. Those children in our Boys and Girls Club elementary program also get fed every day, Monday through Friday, and that's done through the school district. So we partner with the school district, we partner with Food Backpack for Kids, and everybody knows this, that it really does take a community to make sure that our kids have the right resources that they need, and that we can help these kids make an impact. And so that's why we partner with all these other organizations.
Right. Well, you didn't use the term village, though. I like
that. Well, that's village too.
It's been used a lot.
Well,
yeah, I know.
The way that I say that, it's our kids, it's our club, it's our community.
That's right.
Nobody's going to come out from the outside and make sure that we have a club. In fact, there's only two clubs on the coast, one in Coos Bay and the one that we have in Florence. Mm-hmm. And the direction that Boys and Girls Club of America is going right now, they're not going to do small, rural, coastal communities anymore. It's very, very hard to make those sustainable.
If you want to do it, you got to do it yourself.
That's pretty much it. And that's why the people that are around the microphone right now, mm-hmm. we love these kids. We're committed to these kids. We believe, regardless of what your zip code is or what your economic situation is, every one of these kids have greatness in them. And it's our job to make sure that they have the opportunity to go as far and as high as they want to go.
Now, what is the buy-in for the kids? Is there like a monthly fee
right.
for them? It's like, I'm sure it's fairly minimal, but it's like
it
a
is.
Monthly fee for them.
So the way the model works is that we'll never charge more than the poorest family in the community. And that's Boys and Girls Club model. Mm-hmm. So for all of our kids, it's $25 annual membership fee, and that just handles paperwork and all that
right.
kind of stuff. For the elementary program, it's $25 a month. And that's,
did you see a lot more? Is that the idea?
Well, yes. But it's also these kids are the ones that obviously they need a lot more help with their mm-hmm. homework. And we don't want latchkey kids in this community. We want to make sure the younger kids have a safe place to go. But you know, in this community, affordable childcare is a really, really big problem. And so that's why we set the fees for the elementary program at $25 a month.
So it helps for a parent that has to work past the time the school
right.
bus brings them home.
Right.
And also what it does, and I think you guys will probably all agree on this, is that a lot of times when people get something for nothing, they take advantage of it. They take it for granted. And since there is a buy-in, since there is something, they're understanding the importance of giving and getting back.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly the issue.
There's little value in free.
Yes. Yes. That's true.
That's right. It's a partnership.
Mm-hmm. So, Larry, what is your role? What are some of the things that you take on there at the Boys and Girls Club?
Well, I have been a board member for 2 years, and this past year I took on the role as the president of the board, which is I'm actually Chuck's overseer according to the board policy. Although Chuck runs the club and he manages all the programs and thing, I'm there just kind of to come alongside him and support his efforts and support the club any way I can. I provide leadership with board meetings and get involved with different activities as needed. One of the things that I've done in the past is I have taught the Passport to Manhood program this past year to our middle school kids. We had kids 11 to 14 in the program. We had 12 kids. Outstanding program. It builds character. It talks about bullying issues, respect for authority. We talk about money issues and just a lot of different things that middle school age kids are facing in their lives. And we talk about separation, what it goes going through divorce, the family right. going through divorce. And there's some of those opportunities and talking to those kids, I'll tell you, just kind of bring a tear to your eye because of some of the tough situations that our boys and girls are going through. And I think if you haven't been exposed to it and you haven't been close to it, you really wouldn't really understand the issues. But in listening to these kids as they go around the table and tell their story, it really spoke to my heart about how important it is that we have the Boys and Girls Club there to support our kids, to encourage our kids, to build character, and to help them with some of the issues that they're facing in their lives every day.
That's awesome. Now, one of the things I like to do when I interview somebody I haven't met before, and we just met today, is because I know there's people out there that move into town, people that haven't been here for a long time. Give me a little bit of your background, Larry, on what your life was like leading up to Florence, because I have a feeling you probably weren't born and raised here.
Well, you know, I'm a South Coast guy.
Yeah.
My whole life, I was born in Myrtle Point, raised in Coquille, Ended up graduating from high school in Reedsport. I went away to college at Southern Oregon State in Ashland and got a degree in PE and health. Came back to Myrtle Point and started teaching school. And I was there for 10 years teaching. And then I got into administration. And the last 28 years of my career has been in administration. And I was the principal here in Florence, 6 years at the middle school, and then 7 years at the high school.
Okay, cool.
So my whole life has been about kids,
right?
And supporting kids, and I guess that's why I'm part of this Boys and Girls Club, because I just see the need to be come alongside and support families and our kids here in the community. It's one of those things. It's so unique in the fact that we have a Boys and Girls Club. Chuck said we're one of two on the coast. We have such a unique opportunity to provide a service to kids that really need, and families that really need the support, particularly between that 3 to 6 mm-hmm. time frame when parents are working, doing the best they can. They have an opportunity to put their kids in the club. And it's in a safe, nurturing environment where we're going to be able to teach some good character building traits, and they're going to have an opportunity to get work with support with their homework. And then also have some fun stuff. I mean, the atmosphere in the club is wonderful. You know, I've been in a lot of different schools where you can kind of feel either it's a place, it's safe and comfortable where people are not afraid to take risks and do things, or you can be in an environment where it's real tight and it's strenuous and it's not fun to be around. But I can honestly tell you that being at the Boys and Girls Club is a place where kids can thrive, where they can not only have fun, but they can also grow in character, grow in their academics. You know, we support them with tutoring after school. There's just a lot of neat things and a lot of neat opportunities for our kids at the Boys and Girls Club.
I don't know if you have a number in your head, but let's say, for example, say you have 100%, and 100% represents the kids that really need the help and need the support of someone like the Boys and Girls Club. What percentage of that 100% do you feel like you guys are able to reach?
So let me give you some real statistics, real numbers. And the numbers are not significant if you don't understand behind those numbers are a face. And behind that face, it has a name, and it's a child. Mm-hmm. And every one of those children have a story. But right now, roughly 64% of our kids are on free or reduced lunch. We have in our summer program we generally have about 40 in the elementary program, and roughly half of them do not pay a penny for those programs. And these are typically parents that are seasonal workers or they're part-time, no benefits, and they don't have any vacation. They have no place else to take these kids. And so, you know, that's pretty daunting when you realize from 7:30 in the morning during the summer months till 5:30 at night, the parents can bring their kids there and they don't have to worry about them, and they can afford it.
Right.
And so the other piece of that is roughly 48% of our kids are from single-parent families. Many of them are struggling just to make ends meet. You know the story about coastal living and mm-hmm. the cost of rent, and a fairly significant number of those families are also on supplemental food assistance, and many of them also get help in other ways. And if we didn't have a club, if we didn't have some place for parents to take their kids and to be able to have not only the ability to have a safe and nurturing place, but again to make sure that the kids have the right kind of mentoring. You know, I happen to be, and this is why I have so much passion around this, I was one of these kids in my past. And for me, it was one person. His name was Leon Munholland. I've talked about this a lot, but I truly believe it just takes one person to care. Mm-hmm. And by having one person that cares and looks out after you and makes sure that you have what you need and to come alongside you when there's trouble or when you just need help, when you just need to talk to somebody, that's how you make a difference in a child's life. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what we do.
Well, the amazing thing about that, too, is that the amount of kids' lives that you're affecting right now because of this one person.
That's right.
Everyone thinks one person can't make a difference.
They can.
That's not true.
It's not true. They can. Yeah. And when you hear the background of Larry and Michael and you see the work that these guys do every day. We touch 100-plus kids every day, and we touch their families every day. And then during the summer months, again, we have them from 7:30 in the morning till 5:30 at night.
Michael, I don't know if I could bring you in on this one here, but what obviously the Boys and Girls Club needs finances in order to stay solvent and move ahead. What kind of things are available for people to help out? I mean, obviously just regular donations, you know, help out in there. But, you know, what kind of opportunities are there for people to help?
Well, there's many. We have several fundraisers throughout the year. We will have our golf tournament coming up in June, and we're just getting prepared for that. We have started a couple other fundraisers. This last year, a pie fundraiser.
I remember that one.
Yes,
gee, I don't know how I could have missed that one. Somebody was always around selling pies, Nancy.
Yes, yes. Nancy did a great job.
She did an awesome job.
So we had approximately $15,000, $16,000 in gross revenues for that, and that was good. But it takes a constant effort all the time. And we're trying to build sustainability. And the funds that were donated by Mr. Hardison really helped out a great deal. Mm-hmm. And but most of those funds are restricted funds, and they are tied up. And we can enjoy and use the interest that's accrues from those funds in a managed fund with Western Lane Community Foundation. That's good. But what we're finding is that there's always ups and downs with the community, with giving and the fundraising. We've had tremendous success last year. We had so many positive things happen. We had a new fundraiser homecoming that brought in almost $65,000 gross, and we netted about $55,000. So there's a lot of very, very positive things that have happened this last year, and we're moving forward, and I believe we'll make additional money. I think it's important for people to understand that there are, although we do have, we're in much, much better shape than we've ever been financially, there are ebbs and flows, you know, with the income. So that's why it's, we must remain vigilant watch our finances and make sure that we've got enough to make payroll and pay all the bills that are necessary. And I think we've been doing a good job with that. So
let me just build on what he was saying. One of our biggest challenges, and we talked about this a minute ago about the summer program. So the summer program, the month June, July, and August, our costs are about $36,000 a month to have a summer program. And that's the reason why many clubs do not have a summer program, because it is very expensive when you're paying staff all day long. Mm-hmm. And we got 9 field trips, and we're constantly doing things to make sure these kids are not losing capability from the school year by being out 3 months.
Right.
So during that period of time, we generally lose about $36,000 a month. And so that's our biggest challenge. We have to – our fundraisers that Michael talked about, it pretty much takes almost all of that to get us through the summer months program. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, what's that expense? The vast majority of it is really staffing. And, again, we've got an all-day program going.
Right.
And many of our kids have special needs. And when we talk about programs as well – the kids have to trust the people that they deal with. So this is not – when you're working with kids like this, you can't have somebody come in 1 hour a month or 1 hour a week and expect that the kids are going to trust them. And so if you're going to really make a difference in these kids' lives, you have to come alongside them every day.
Right.
You have to get to know them. You have to get to know their families. You've got to be able to understand the issues they deal with. And so that's really our biggest challenge, is to make sure that we keep those summer programs. And again, in our community, if we didn't have a Boys and Girls Club, where else are these kids going to go?
The streets.
Yeah,
there you
and
go.
We all know what happens with that. In
right.
fact, I have a couple of kids right now that have had issues with law enforcement. And they're good kids. They have good hearts. But free time is not a good thing.
Not a lot of direction sometimes.
That's exactly right. And so, again, that's the reason why we do what we do.
And I think also, George, is that the role models that are there available at the Boys and Girls Club are very, very positive. And I think that's what kids need. And another thing I'd like to comment on is I know when I first, before I got involved with the Boys and Girls Club, that was almost 10 years ago, between here and the Bend area, I thought, what exactly does a Boys and Girls Club do? And to be honest, I didn't really know. And I think a lot of people don't understand what exactly happens. The programs are just amazing. And I think it's an opportunity for kids, if they're not at the Boys and Girls Club, they can't be exposed to this kind of intention that we are able to provide. Here's a perfect example. I know that many times I have people say, well, you know, you're enabling these kids. Well, I can understand you might be thinking that, but what we're doing is we're trying to teach them life lessons. We're teaching them. We have a program it's a financial literacy class. Mm-hmm. Money Matters is the name of it. And also, in addition to that, as part of that, we have a club store. So the kids, we have merchandise within the store that the kids want. Sometimes they'll buy it for their parents, but here's an opportunity for them. They can have a job. They have the privilege of having a job at the club where they either sweep or they take out the trash or they help clean the kitchen, clean the bathrooms. And so the kids are learning a little something that maybe they're not even exposed to at home. So
A work ethic.
Exactly. We think that's the most important thing.
Right.
And also giving back. So some of the programs we have, they'll go to Spruce Point or Shorewood, and they'll help the seniors. So they're exposed to this sort of thing. And I would have thought, we've talked about this in the past, that I would have thought the kids would be uncomfortable around some of the older folks in some of these homes. And
it works pretty well, though, doesn't it?
They love it. They love it. Chuck has mentioned before that he'd say, well, okay, kids, we really weren't sure which way it was going to run. But they came back and said, can we go next week? You know, so they're very excited. They love the older folks. And so back to my point is that there's programs there that I think really enhance their learning, and I think it's just a very, very good thing for the children. Community.
Next time you have someone come up to you and say that you're enabling the kids, get their name and phone number. Yeah. I'm gonna contact them because I worked in the juvenile justice system in Arizona. I worked with the kids in the prison. I mean, it wasn't prison, but you know, it was prison. They were locked up, and some of these kids, all they needed was a little direction at some point. Still, most of them were still able to come back from that situation in with some of the mentoring programs that we were doing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, if you want these kids to learn it out on the street versus learning something in the Boys and Girls Club, you know, that's kind of a no-brainer, I would think, wouldn't it?
Right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That's right. George, I'd like to just share a little bit about the academic support that we provide at the Boys and Girls Club this past year. You know, we meet with the principals and talk to them about where kids are at, and we have a partnership. We're able to get the passcodes to go online and look at their grades and kind of keep up with their homework. Kids coming into the club, you know, a lot of times, you know, you ask a kid, well, how you doing with your homework? Oh, I've got everything done. I said, well, let's go online and look, see how you're doing. You know, I forgot about that writing assignment I was supposed to do. Or, oh, yeah, I only did half of my math assignment. I need to work on that, whatever. But the numbers were just truly off the charts. I think we had, out of about 28 kids, we had 10 kids that had straight A's on the report cards.
Eight of them.
Mm-hmm. Eight of them. There was eight kids that had straight A's. And then of the 24, 28 that we were targeting, how many, Chuck, that made the honor roll?
21. We were running about 30 at the time that came at least two or three times a week, and 21 of those made the honor roll. So that's a home run. That is a home run.
It's a home run. And you know, and so the partnership with the schools, the teachers and the building principals understand what we're doing with kids. And the kids are having success at the club academically, and that's carrying over into the school. And the teachers are seeing kids that are being supported and following through. They're doing better in school. And as a result of that, you know, it's a home run. And we just want to continue to see that grow. And we're excited because of the fact that as we take these middle school kids, bring them into our program, they're having the kind of success academically. They're involved in a lot of different character building programs. They have the opportunity to participate in some of our other programs. We're going to grow those middle school kids into high school kids with this new teen center. And we just believe we're just going to grow out of the space, the new space that we're going to have.
That'd be good. Now, because you need finances to do this, let's talk a little about the fundraising again. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's a name that fundraisers kind of, or there's a plan that fundraisers kind of throw out there that maybe the general public is not as familiar with. They may have heard it but don't understand what it is, and that's planned giving.
Yes.
This is an opportunity for folks who, when they go, to leave a legacy for some of these kids. Explain a little bit, whoever can do that best knows how this program works.
So one of the things that we should talk about is that many of the clubs, because of the model, and again, you're never going to make enough money off of fees that will ever pay for a program.
Right.
So it's about $1,500 a year per child. So what we have to do, what planned giving is when folks leave estates or life insurance or stock or property, and that's what John and Patricia Hardison did for us, is they left some properties for us that after John passed away. But he also helped us in many other ways as well. But people can make a difference by leaving a legacy gift that goes directly to the Boys and Girls Club, and they can designate how those funds can be used. And there's another thing that I want to bring up that I think a lot of people don't realize this as well, but many clubs have been successful with this in terms of sustainability. When you look at $1,500 per child, that's just to have the programs and make sure that we've got a place for them to go, safe and nurturing. If we just had 400 kids, sorry, if we had 400 people, that would give $100 a month. If we had 400 people out of the roughly, 9,000 in this community? If we had 400 people that would give $100 a month, we would be completely sustainable. We wouldn't have to be worrying about, you know, how are we going to be able to have a summer program, you know, the trade-offs that we have to make on a daily basis. So when you look at planned giving, which are legacy gifts, and then if we could get 400 people out of 9,000 in this community to be faithful to give that $100 a month, our club would just continue to grow like there's no tomorrow.
And just think about that. I mean, because you say there's 9,000. If you get half of them just to give $10 a month,
right,
you're still in a better
That's
place.
Right.
I mean, so much can happen by just a little bit from everyone.
That's right. Sure. If everybody gives a little bit, then we don't have the issues of where we're trying to raise all these big dollars. And again, what it really boils down to, it's our kids. Yeah. It's our club. It's our community. Nobody else is going to take care of our kids. Nobody else is going to help them set them up for success. Nobody else are going to help the parents of the families that are struggling just to make it to the next paycheck. It's our community, and we all have to be a part of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes.
I tell you what, thank you guys for being here. It's very eye-opening, and I'm looking forward to having you get the rest of the high school center set up.
We're looking forward.
Now, has the money been allocated for all that?
Well, we've got
still need a little bit.
We still need a little bit. We still have to get our occupancy permit. We've still got to pave the parking lot, and we've got to do a stormwater swale.
That darn city.
Yeah. Well, you know,
the city's been great.
And
no, I know.
Good
I'm
things.
Just kidding. I'm kidding.
So, for example, our parking lot, that's about $30,000 to do that. On the other hand, I can't even tell you how many truckloads of gravel we brought in there. We had a joke. We had a pothole the other day. I think we found a 65 Volkswagen in that pothole.
Wow.
I don't know how many years have been buried. But that's the thing that we're trying to do right now is we've got to pave and stripe the parking lot. We need to paint the building. And so we still do need dollars to do those kinds of things as well.
And thank God for some of our supporters. Gary Rose of Leisure Excavation has supplied so much for us. We just can't thank him enough.
Yeah, Gary Rose and Art and Gene Koning. I mean, there's so many. Dan Laffey, Eddie Osorio from All Creations Construction. I mean, there have been so many people that have been so generous and so kind. And without them, we wouldn't have the possibility to have this high school building. We're just really, really blessed because of them.
Yes. Well, good luck to all three of you, Chuck Trent, Larry Martindale, and Michael Pearson. Thank you for joining me today on Our Town, and I look forward to some more great news from the Boys and Girls Club.
Thanks,
thank you, George.
Thanks
for this opportunity.
And we'll have news at the top of the hour, and then we'll be back with Kathleen Kuntz, who's working with Every Child, a foster care support group, right here on Our Town for the month of March.